What I'll let you do today is talk about meditation. So what we do is learn how to cross our legs. But I do want to talk to you about meditation. And first of all, we're going to talk a little bit about type of meditation or types of meditation. Are they all the same? Now, the Bible teaches us that we need to meditate. But we want to find out what kind of meditation we should be doing. So, let's look at this first and see which one we want. Maybe you've considered this. I thought you'd enjoy that. Everybody does need to meditate. Now, this one fellow you're seeing here is the Maharaji. I'm trying to get his name here. He came to the United States in 1956. He died not too long ago. But his name is Maharaji Mahesh Yogi. Yogi to me was like in Yellowstone National Park, Yogi the Bear. But anyway, so you have this fellow here, and he came and swept the Western world with his idea of meditation, which ultimately be what they call transcendental meditation, where mantras was used. You can see it's even crossed over into the dog world. Not really. I don't know how they got into that. Is this the kind of meditation that the scriptures talk about? Well, no. Now, most meditation today that's out in the world stems from an oriental type of concept. And basically, its concept is God is everywhere and God is in everything. And since you are here in the universe and you're part of everything, you're God. And the whole concept is that we've drifted so far away from that teaching that meditation, this form of meditation, gets us to that. You'll remember from earlier sermons, we've talked about the Gnostic view of emanations. Does anybody remember that? Sort of a good analogy of it is the sun, the globe up in the sky. And the further away you get from the sun, the less and less light there is. Well, we'll say the sun represents God or the supreme deity. And the Gnostic teaching was that the further you got away from that sun, the less and less you got away from the deity or the deities. And you got further and further and further away from that. And the sun would be spirit. And you got further and further, like the sun rays would go out, and you got further and further away, until finally somewhere way, way out there, that spirit turned into flesh, or into physical. They're called emanations. And so, what we don't realize, the philosophy is that we are God. We just don't know it. In fact, I'll even misquote a scripture that misunderstood. So anyway, the concept here is really that you are God, you just don't know it, because since you are part of creation, and God is everywhere, you are God. But so is the brick, and the light bulb, and that, No, we know that that's nonsense, but this is very appealing to people. Now the concept here is for you to get your mind, at best, neutral. Just to get it totally neutral. So that the universe can begin to flow through you, as they call it. It can become, one term is the yin and the yang, the male and the female of everybody will flow through us. The cosmic universe, or the Mother Earth, they use all these concepts. So they really believe that you want to get your mind in an unattached state. Now there's a danger to that, I think you're probably aware of it. You get into that unattached state. How do you get your mind into that? How do you get your mind so that it just becomes neutral? You don't even know what's going on around you. I have brothers that do this. I think I've told you that I walk in the room when my one brother was not praying, I almost said that, meditating, and he didn't even know I was in there. But what he does is he does this mantra stuff. He looks about like that guy too. I was trying to get a picture of David. David looks like that, doesn't he? She's saying, yeah. But anyway. he would have his legs crossed like this. Now, if I got my legs crossed like that, it would only happen once.
And then I just had to get knee pads and walk on.
Because that wouldn't work. So we're going to go back to this guy. And he was actually in college back in the early 70s, not ambassador, but college back home. He came to visit me. I think I told you the story, so I'll go quickly. And I got up in the morning, and he has his legs crossed like that, and he's there, and he would be very low under his breath. And when you do that, it's hypnotic. And then you have a mantra that you would, and it's a word that your yogi gives you, your teacher gives you, it is supposedly unique to you, and you say it over and over and over in your mind while you're doing that, and it gets you into a hypnotic state. It gets you into a hypnotic state. Is that what God means when he says he wants us to meditate? Because I'll show you, God says to meditate. And you say, well, not that way. We want to show you the right way. Again, this is sort of the stance, and you open yourself up to the flow of the universe, the way her hands are, and so forth. She's touching the earth. Because remember, you are God. The earth is God. You want to get back to being, understanding who and what you are. You're part of the universe. The universe is you. You hear these concepts, alarm bells should be going off. The flashing red lights should be going off. Say, uh-oh. Now, see, I have to constantly work with Mr. Abbott to stay out of this. Not really. Now, Maharishi talked about the belief that a collective thought would change the world. Because, again, since everybody is part of the universe, you can change the universe if you get enough people thinking the same thoughts at the same time. You think, huh? But they actually do believe this. And this was that kind of that long-haired kind of guy. And they call that the Maharishi effect, the belief that a collective thought would change the world. Now, I heard that one night on this late night radio show, where they were going to get everybody on that show was supposed to be thinking positive thoughts about something. I don't remember because I turned it off. And you can see here, see how he's almost a deity? And so forth. And so what did he say? This is right from their website. I quote that and I source it here. He wrote, the achievement, now hang in there because this is kind of wordy. The achievement of this very simple, very effortless formula will be to transform the society for all good. We want a better society, so I'm curious. This is the achievement of the scientific age, that a simple formula has come along whereby a small group of 7,000 people in one place will maintain the sunshine of the age of enlightenment for all times. Huh? Well, they figured out, I don't know where they came up with the idea, but they figured out, or he did, or something, that the earth is so many square feet, and if everybody, these 7,000 people were allotted, take square footage of the world and divide it into 7,000, anyway, then they would all think they'd all be in the same place, they'd all have the same positive thoughts, and they would be meditating, and which is for them a form of prayer, and that it would ultimately bring in world peace. How's that been working for you? He goes on to say, Maharishi explained that just as water only boils at 100 degrees centigrade, only with the square foot of 1% of the Earth's population, that's what we're talking about, approximately 7,000 practicing the transcendental meditation. And that's how they spell program, because I took it right off their site. My computer wanted to argue with them. Together in one place, would coherence be produced in world consciousness leading to world peace? Okay. And people truly believe this stuff. And how do you know? Because there's a wave of global peace. They've concluded that. One large peace-creating assembly of 8,000 experts, I'm glad they worked. Who's not an expert? Amateur. 8,000 experts that continued for several years. So they go from 1988 to 1990, they get together for a short time each year, created a history-transforming wave of peace around the world. Huh? Major conflicts in the world came to an end, including the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Well, they just got whooped. And they left. Okay. 7-year war between Iran and Iraq that killed millions. And most notably, the unexpected Soviet-American Cold War that threatened the world with nuclear annihilation for 40 years. How's that working now? It's heating back up. But they really believe that the events that follow... See, what happens is they make this prediction. They go through the exercise, and then you find the evidence to prove your prediction right. But then when you stand back, now we've had all these years that continue on, it's not getting more peaceful. As you know, the world's getting more and more insane and more violent. Can you imagine what 140 children were butchered at school last week by somebody claiming religion, for all crying out loud? So, I mean, this is the kind of stuff you don't want to get involved with. I don't think I need to tell you that. What is this what God had in mind for us? Obviously, no. Is there a biblical meditation? Does the Bible talk about meditation? Let's go to Psalms 1, verse 2. Psalms 1, and I'll be reading from both the King James and sometimes the New Living and sometimes from others as well. Psalms. I was going to put a picture of my brother in here, but frankly I ran out of time. He really does look like the Maharishi. He thinks like him too. Okay, I'm trying to get there. Psalms 18. Job. Psalms. Okay, there we go. This is from the Old King James. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God, and his law does he meditate. Meditate, in a biblical sense, is focused thinking, not going into neutrality. Because you go into neutrality, you can open yourself up to demonic influence. As we've mentioned this before, if you drink a lot and you pass out, none of that happen all the time, but it is a possibility that when you drink to a blackout point, that you can get a spirit at times. That doesn't mean you always will, but it has happened from time to time. But the point here is to meditate on those things. We don't need there. You can see that from the King James talks about meditation. And meditation in the biblical sense is focusing your mind. But focusing it on what? I submit to you, we all are meditators. You've meditated today. And you may have meditated the wrong way. Probably did. And then you didn't meditate in the right way. Now, if you prayed, that's a form, if you will. You're focusing your thoughts on godly things, and you're talking to God. That's a form of meditation. Now, and again, you think, wait a minute, I don't want anything to do with what we just saw. Well, again, we don't. I'm just showing you that that is a twisted form. And it gets people to believe in that. The other form we talked about, it's much like, see, you don't need God. You are God, and you can become like God, doing good and evil by this experience. See, it just sort of got a little more sophisticated. Let's go to Philippians 4. What did you meditate on today? Is it this? Now, I'll tell you, yesterday and one other time this week, you know, you go downtown and we're in that time of the year and you hear this music, right? All day long. So I got out of the car yesterday and guess what I was humming in my mind? One of those crazy songs. I don't even want to tell you what it is because it'd be in my head. Now, what was happening? Unconsciously, I was meditating on the music. Because music has a hypnotic influence, too. It can. Music is good. You know, we love music. It calmed Saul down, didn't it? Because he had a spirit that was troubling him. So it can be good. It's like so many things, you can take something that's good and make it evil. In a wrong use, makes it evil. So we have to be careful. So what did you meditate on today? Let's go to Philippians 4, verse 4. Always be full of joy. This is a New Living Translation. I say again, rejoice. Let every one of you who are considerate, let every one of you see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. See, this is a form of, this is meditation. This is biblical meditation. If you do this, you will experience God's peace. Oh. Now, that doesn't mean you have to cross your legs and, you know, like we said, most of us cross our legs at that guy. They'd have to have a strange looking casket to put this body that's straight up and legs crossed. Okay. So, we are talking here about meditating on what do we really want to meditate? If you do this, verse 7, you'll experience God's peace. This is from the New Living Translation, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds if you live in Christ. Now, what does he mean here? How do you do that? Next verse. All right, now go to verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts. Think on these things. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right. Remember, what we normally do is we worry. We worry about this. We worry about that. Don't worry about things. And another scripture says, I can't change your hair on your head. So the theory is, if you don't want to worry, shave all your hair off. Some of you guys are almost there. Okay. Now it says in the King James, you're reading it with me, but finally, my brethren, verse 8, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatsoever are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there be any praise, think, meditate, concentrate on these things. So, you can be driving home today and be thinking about thankful for the things that God has given you, thankful for whatever, thankful for this. And it doesn't mean you live in nirvana and you're in total denial. You might say, I thank you that I'm going through this or that trial. Because you know what? I get to meditate on these things that we've been talking about, to be thankful to you, to look to you in faith, to see me through this experience or whatever it may be. I thank you that I'm doing that. That is meditating in a godly way. Not zoning out and opening yourself up to the flow of the universe, because it'll happen. And it can even be exhilarating in some ways. But, as I've mentioned in one other, I don't know if I have, I think I have, she's long since died in an area I was in many years ago. She had demon problems. And they ultimately killed her, but she just could not give up the exhilaration that they gave her. See? Now, the point is here, think on these things. Be thankful. In all things, be thankful. But if Paul said, I've learned to be content with whatever my state. If I'm down, that's fine. If I don't, that's fine. You see, this is a big order, but it's the things we should be meditating on. So he's given us these things. If nothing else, meditate on this verse. These verses here, 4 through 8. Okay? This is a form of meditation. So you'll see the same picture over and over. To try and get the point, we want to think about what God has said to us and focus our thinking on that. If we're in the midst of a trial, think about what God has said about a trial. Well, you said count it all joy, and I'm going to do that. You'll help me with that because I'm human and I tend to worry, so I'm not all there yet. So, but this is an experience for me to learn more about you. So, while I don't necessarily enjoy it, it's good for me. And I thank you for that. Because, you know, it's honorable because I'm going to grow in grace and knowledge. It's Bible. And you go through these scriptures and just talk to God. So that way when you finish praying and finish meditating, you get up and go, oh, now I got to go face the world. I just finished prayer and I feel like I've been run over by a tank. Because you've been on the wrong focus of your prayer. Okay, let's go to the next point. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 1. And again, I'll be reading from the Living, just give you, you can compare it as you read yours. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of the godly or spiritual. Now let me read this from the King James. If you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are from above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Seek spiritual things. Righteous spiritual things. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Focus on spiritual matters. Again, it's a focus, isn't it? It's a focus. I don't want to zone out my mind. You don't want to do that. Again, those postures, the different things they do, are designed to get an induced hypnosis. And when we get into a negative way of thinking, it becomes so much a part of us. That's a hypnotic state that we can get into. We don't have to do all that contorted thing that they do, but you can just worry, and you worried about this month's rent, and you worried that you couldn't sleep for 3 days, and you worried, and then all of a sudden you've got the money, and unconsciously we say to ourselves, see, worrying worked. God says, don't worry about anything. You know, cast your cares upon me. All these things, all these verses right in your mind. Don't worry about those things. Now, you gotta do your part, gotta work and save your rent. Don't just blow your money and somehow money from heaven will drop down when the house payments due. Not that. But you are approaching it from this way that we're talking about. Now, you can become hypnotically set up in your own mind when you feel negative all the time. You know, we've all been there. Anybody never been negative? Okay. We've all been negative because it works. It seems to, doesn't it? When you worry and rat and carry on and blah, and then it didn't go bad like you thought. And see how subtle it is. We don't think about this consciously, but we think, see, I made it better by worrying about it. It didn't happen because I worried about it. No, you didn't need to worry about it in the first place. Cast your cares upon God and He'll take care of these matters. Yeah, but I don't know how. You don't need to. When? I don't know. Okay, next verse. Psalms 33:8. And I think I didn't get it finished. When my brother was visiting me and he was doing his mantra and meditating, he didn't even know I was in the room. I came and left, had breakfast, came back. He's still staring at his navels or whatever he's doing. It was January in the state of Washington, and he was barefoot. Okay, hello. I think I told you this. We went to a movie. I was going to take my brother in his sweatpants. No kidding. Barefoot in January. Kind of a t-shirt or something like that. Maybe a sweatshirt. So we were walking to the movie, and I'm a rich college kid, so you know, going to a movie is a huge luxury. So Dave, I'll take you to the movie. Okay, so we're on our way, and we pass by this dumpster, and he's gone. Where are you at? He jumped in the dumpster to find something to eat during the movie. Okay, I'm telling you, don't want to meditate like that. I know whereof I speak. I guess that's why that kind of stuff, oh, never mind. Psalms 33, verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. That's what true godly meditation is. We stand in awe of God when we're thinking about what is noble, honorable, true, all of these things. We're standing in honor of God. We're not just zoning out and letting something come in, because something will come in. Maybe not the first time. Something will come in. So this whole idea that God is this awesome God, that song the kids used to sing, is a good one. Alright? Let's go to Colossians 3 now. Colossians, the third chapter. Verse 1, I read from the King James, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, I think we read this to you, where Christ sits in the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things that are above, not on the things of the earth. focus again. Focus on, that if you're talking about. What do you meditate on? We sort of covered that already, but let's get a little more focused on what we should be meditating on. Psalms 119. You know where I'm going with this. Psalms 119. And the whole psalm is talking about how he loves God's law, how he focuses on it. And these are a couple of verses that help us to meditate on that. See, I just used the word, didn't I? 119 verse 15. I've got to find it here. It's a very long... If I remember right, Psalms 119 is dead center part of the Bible, isn't it? Yeah, isn't it neat? Okay, whatever. Well, that's significant enough. Psalms 119 verse 15. 119 verse 15. I will study the commandments and reflect on your ways. As it says in the Living, but here's verse 15. I will meditate, the old King James. I will meditate on your precepts and have respect unto your ways. I'm going to think about your law. Not, but I need to be more prevented. Well, we all know that. We know we need to grow and overcome. But I want to meditate on the beauty of God's law. How do you, you know, how do I learn to love God more perfectly? It starts with being thankful. It's because that thankfulness reflects true humility. Now, if you're proud that you're humble, uh-oh. See? But, okay, 97. Let's go to verse 97 here. These are little bitty verses and they're hard for me to see. 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation. That's, meditation's in the Bible a lot. I'm meditating on what? I'm zoning out, thinking, focusing the mind on God's law, God's way. Because what is God's law? The love of God expressed towards him and others. On these two commandments, the whole love towards God and love towards neighbor. So maybe you're going through something. How do I show love more perfectly? And you go through the scripture and ask God, when I need correction, show me the correction. And in your love, show me. But I want to know. And I know you're going to show me. And I know I'm going to grow in this way. I don't know how. I don't know all the details. I just know it's going to, because that is honorable. And you told me it's honorable. It's good. See? All these things. That's why Paul said the law of God is holy. It's righteous and it's good. See how the world is cut off from all that now? And we live in a world of chaos. Just go to Facebook. We live in a world of chaos. And I don't know, of course, knowing the truth, it's much better, but if I was a news broadcaster and I wasn't in the church, I don't know how you'd go to work every day. It's a mess. And it doesn't get any better. Let's go to verse 148 because we've got to move on. Verse 148. My eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in your word. Now, it says in the modern one, I stay awake, is what he's saying, through the night, thinking about your promise. See, he's meditating. What has God promised me? That's something about God has promised all kinds of things. And go through where God has kept those promises to you. Spend time thanking him for it. Spend time praising him for it. Spend time doing that. And then if you have some other need, say, okay, I know you've met me. Here's this long litany of things. You've met your promises. And here's this one here. And I know you're going to, see, it's faith. I know you're going to do it. I don't know the hows, whys, and I don't know all that stuff. But you're going to do it. And I'm thankful to you for that. Think on these things and the peace of mind that surpasses all understanding. Will guard your hearts and your minds. This is godly meditation. Can you just write those down because we need to move on? I've sort of already said a lot of these things here. Romans 1:20, I will turn that. Romans 1 verse 20. Romans 1. And I'll start from the King James. For the invisible things of him, speaking of God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, the human race from the Garden of Eden to the, all the way through, so that they are without excuse. You can learn about God Almighty by studying nature. What is it that we, most of us like to do when you're going through a trial and you're upset about something? What do you like to go outside and walk? Now, you have mountains and streams, but if you like to go walk them out and share, or maybe you just like to get outside and go for a walk on a country road. Why? Because in us innately is this desire to get out and be quiet in nature, to understand, not to worship nature, but to worship the God of nature. What happens is human beings are worshiping nature instead of God. Because in their view, nature is God. And since you're part of nature, you're God too. And so we'll just meditate and do all these things, and then you're going to realize what a great God you are. And know when there's a problem in the world, 7,000 of us will get together and we'll cause world peace. Huh? Okay. How's that working for you, as Dr. Field would say? Okay. So, Psalms 19, and I won't be turning it, but you'll take the notes down. For those of you who don't have the PowerPoint that we're talking about, I will not be turning to Psalms 19, verse 1 through 4. Psalms 19, 1 through 4. Psalms 139, verses 13 through 18. If you want to meditate on God's word and truly listen to what God is saying. Listen to what God is saying. You got to get quiet and hear what God has to say. We will go to Psalms here. Psalms 4. Psalms and Proverbs are just a wonderful place to go to meditate on God's word. I'm getting there. Okay, Psalms 4 and verses 3 and 4. Let me read it from the King James first. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Now, from the modern English, made a little more sense for us. You can be sure of this. Verse 3. The Lord has set apart the godly for himself. What a great thing to meditate on. I've been called by God. I've been set apart from the world. What a privilege and an honor. You can spend time thanking God for that. Yeah, but I got all these things I've got to talk to him about. He already knows. Relax. The Lord will answer when I call him. Don't sin by letting anger gain control of you, but think about it overnight and remain silent. And this is offer up the sacrifice, the proper sacrifice, and trust in the Lord. So now that's just another way of saying trust God. He'll work these matters out for you. And you actually see that in Ephesians 4:26. I'll just turn there real quickly. Ephesians 4. In verse 26, he's really quoting what we just read. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. See, this is one way. When we get in the wrong meditation, the wrong focus, you can open yourself up to that demonic influence. I didn't say possession. No, we've all had that influence on us. You just wake up and you're just going to be in a sour mood and that's all there is to it. So go away and leave me alone. Okay. And then you repent of that and you're alright. We've all been there. It is part. But you want to learn to listen to God. When you listen to God by reading His Word, focusing on it, contemplating what it said, think about how it's been applied in your life, thank God for that. And then, after you maybe read a verse there, like Philippians 4, thank God for that, and then just get quiet. You don't have to say anything. Keep your mind focused. I don't mean zoning out, but keeping your mind focused. Father, ask God, help me to think about areas to be thankful that don't jump out of my mind. And I'd like to just get quiet for a minute or two and have you show me that. You probably think, Papa, wow, I hadn't thought about that. Psalms 46, we'll go there. Psalms 46, verse 5. Psalms 46, God is in the midst of her. She shall be moved. God shall help her that right early day. I don't think that's the one I want. 46. No, it's verse 10. I'm going to go down to verse 10. This is the part I really want to hit. Be silent and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. This is actually saying, when you look at the world around you and it's going insane, if you read these verses about the nations are in an uproar, verse 6, God thunders and the earth melts. This is the great tribulation part. And all these elements are coming out just before the second coming. But the principle is here. When you see all that, get quiet. Trust God. Don't focus on all the stuff that's bad going on in the world. It's there. Only an idiot would pretend it's not there. But your focus here is this. And then let's start verse 7. And the Lord Almighty is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. This is from New Living Translation. Come see the glorious works of the Lord. Verse 8. See how he brings destruction upon the world. This is the tribulation period and causes the wars and the end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear in two to stop wars. He burns the shield with fire. Because we know all that's coming. And here's a good principle, not only knowing about this prophecy, but in general in life. Be silent and know that I am God. I'll take care of this. Just get silent. Stay out of all the ruckus and hullabaloo that's out there. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 1, verse 20 through 22. I've already read that. Romans 1, verse 20 and 22. So, we conclude here in Psalms 19. Psalms 19. This is a prayer of meditation, a verse of meditation, if you will. Psalms 119. I'm sorry. Psalms 19. Psalms 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's what we want to focus on. That's what we want to meditate on. That's what godly meditation is about. Focusing on God's word, what he has said, on his teaching, on how we should think, what our focus should be. I hope you really think about that. And if you need to listen to the sermon, we'll have it posted on the internet. Listen to it several times. If you feel you'd like to go back and hear it again. If you want to learn to let the words and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Focus on that when you meditate and you'll become spiritually, mentally, and emotionally